Today we're in a garden. It's an unusual space, small, settled deep into a stone enclosure, and this stonework is clearly ancient. Before me there's a line of broken pillars, to my right the tracery of arches on the wall. In fact, these are the ruins of St. Catherine's Chapel. We're standing in part of the Benedictine monastery we've inherited here in Westminster. The roof to the chapel was taken off after the Reformation. Then it became a house, and much later it was bombed out in the Second World War. So, picture a ruined chapel, holy ground, our history. It's tranquil now, full of blossom and some glorious tulips. The gardeners could tell you, though, that gardens are places of constant effort. This thing of beauty, this creation, needs love and constant attention. Easter is announced in a garden. Christ is mistaken for a gardener. It's in a garden that we must think about both the fragility and also the sheer abundance and power of life. In this garden, once a chapel, we are surrounded by new life. Now we turn to that Easter garden. It too was holy ground, where God's future came to meet us, gathering up all our history. Lord of all life and power, who through the mighty resurrection of your Son overcame the old order of sin and death to make all things new in him, grant that we, being dead to sin and alive to you in Jesus Christ, may reign with him in glory, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be praise and honour, glory and might, now and in all eternity. Amen.
The Gospel is taken from St. John chapter 20, verses 1 to 18. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth a stone taken away from the sepulchre. Then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter, and to the other disciple, whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple, which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture, that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home. But Mary stood without the sepulchre, weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father, and your Father, and to my God, and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her.
The scene we've just encountered begins right at the end of the night. It's still dark, and the darkness lingers as the dawn is about to break. We're in a garden at the place where Jesus has been crucified, as John tells us just a few verses earlier. We've been here before somehow, and that really matters for St. John's account of this story. At the beginning of creation, the first human was placed in the Garden of Eden. Now the new Adam emerges triumphant from a garden containing a tomb. But this is more than straightforward restoration, not just turning back the clock. An early legend tells us that Adam's skull was buried on Calvary, receiving the new fruit, Christ's blood, from the cross, the tree of life. Patristic and medieval minds were full of such imagery. As the shades melt away into that first Easter morning, this is the dawn of the new creation. History and hope, memory and expectation fusing in the most unimaginable technicolor as death is trampled down by death. As the 11th century Victime Paschali puts it, life and death together fought, each to a strange extreme was brought. Yet amidst all its glory, this is also a scene of touching intimacy. Mary goes to tend the body of someone she loves, and its absence from the scene is deeply distressing. After Peter and John have gone, Mary's tears are the veil through which she has a first glimpse of what has actually happened. Tears which perhaps come again as Jesus tells her not to touch him. Those of us currently in isolation may find ourselves all too present in today's story, hearing again the message of the resurrection, but longing for the reassurance of the physical presence of family, friends, brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. The garden we're standing in is the site of the old monastic infirmary chapel. It's here that the sick and elderly monks would have worshipped, too frail to enter the great abbey, so instead coming here just yards from their hospital beds, isolated from the rest of their brothers and the life of the monastery. They would have come here for Eucharist, for confession and sacramental reassurance, some perhaps to receive their last rites. This garden has seen its fair share of life and death rubbing up against each other, held together by the good news contained in today's gospel. The promise of eternal life and new creation, right at the heart of real sickness, real fragility as body is shut down, as the breath returns to the one who gave it. John's account of the resurrection takes us right the way back to our fallenness and fragility. Christ's resurrection is a genuine healing of a genuine wound. Just as this was surely a physical death, a real burial, it is also a physical rising. It's not a metaphor, as if we could be saved by one of those. The very love and power at the origins of creation gives itself to a real human death, to show that death has no final power over those who dare to trust in this victory. Jesus' own life, from his vulnerable birth, through his ministry of healing, his touching of the excluded and unloved, his judgment on the world's greed and selfish violence, to his seemingly shameful death outside the city walls, reveals a pattern. God is with us. God is close to us. The love which made us will never let us go. This, then, is an offer of radical reconciliation, in which the risen Jesus calls each of us by name as he called Mary. In the Garden of Eden, the man himself named the animals. Here, Jesus names each of us, calling us to step into the new life opened up by his resurrection. Mary supposes Jesus to be the gardener. She is, of course, on one level, absolutely right. In Christ's risen humanity, the final flourishing of all creation is promised. Christ is the first fruit of that renewal in which all nature will share. One of the dangers of the health crisis currently besetting our world is that it could lead us to think of nature as our foe instead of our friend. Our salvation is not technology, wonderful though it is. Our salvation is not learning more ways in which we can control or dominate the earth. Jesus' resurrection calls us to communion with the good earth and its maker, a partnership of solidarity and responsibility. It's no wonder that gift is fragile. A real death, a real resurrection, its earliest realization often glimpsed through tears. Christ is the first fruit of an abundantly fresh life. We share that life with one another in small acts of love, of husbandry for our souls, for our communities, and for the earth. Death and decay are not the final actors in the time of the world. Especially at times of uncertainty and turmoil, the context of our work, our relationships, even our smallest decisions should not be the graveyard, but rather the garden of the resurrection. From the vantage point of life in Christ, we begin to see, often through our tears, the renewal of all creation. Mary, spring is here to stay. Only death is dead.
William Byrd's first anthem, Christ Rising Again, uses texts from St. Paul's epistles, set to be sung on Easter Day in the first prayer book of King Edward VI. It's sung here by Westminster Abbey Choir.
Thank you.
Let us pray for grace to keep a holy Easter and to live the risen life of Christ. O God, in Jesus Christ, you fell for love into the dark earth and died. Now in your risen life, fill us with the rich harvest of your love and grace. May it blossom in our hearts in abundant life shared with all the world. Through Jesus Christ, we pray, who is the promise of your love, restored, renewed, and multiplied. And as Jesus himself taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. As we pray for God's blessing, we commend to God's grace and protection the sick, the bereaved, and all those who now work so hard to keep us safe and keep us well. The God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be amongst you and remain with you always. Amen.